Dombrowski, Sam Nation live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Is LA broke? Yes, of course it is. I don't want to give anything away there for the morning show, but broke as a joke. Yeah, I always joke about La Cienega because that's when I come up to LA, I'm almost always on La Cienega Boulevard. I come up the 405, I leave the safety, the comfort of Orange County. The minute that you cross into LA County, you think you're in Afghanistan. I mean, the road, yeah, it's like the opening scenes of Iron Man, you know, when they're riding in the Humvees. That's how I feel, just instantly, right? I'm not an Orange County snob. I'm just saying I live in the land of ample parking and of smoothly paved roads. So if you're jealous of that, come join me over here. All right. The phone number, if you'd like to be on the program, 1-800-881-2020. Oh, my goodness. I'm giving the Sweet James number. 800-222-5222. Easy to make that mistake when you're in the Sweet James studios. Sam@samnation.com is my email. Do email me if you're too afraid to call. And I realize that not everybody is up for being on air. So if you do have a thought for me, certainly shoot me an email. And if it fits in with what we're talking about, I will share it on air. Fascinating stuff today. You're familiar, I'm sure, with the Drudge Report, the top news aggregation website that is curated by Matt Drudge. Matt Drudge becoming very famous when he broke the Monica Lewinsky story, you know, the little blue dress that had some extra things on it, if you will. And Drudge today, so conservative guy, right? He's a conservative operator and an early Trumpist. Drudge is someone who very early on threw in for the Donald when the rest of the conservative establishment was not very pleased and not very happy about his candidacy. So I was curious today when I saw a link to a Daily Beast piece. Daily Beast is a absolutely worthless online magazine, very, very left wing and stupid. I mean, it's written really for low information, kind of sensationalist type readers. So it's basically TMZ with a lower quality and it's more politically driven. There you go. The Daily Beast. And Drudge all day. I don't know if it's still up as of right now, 7:07. Let me see. I will check. I think right before I went on air, I checked. It was still up. A link to this Daily Beast piece. Now, the Daily Beast piece is about Bannon, Steve Bannon, who was the number one Trump conciliary until he left the White House a few weeks back. And you'll recall, so Bannon was the CEO of the Trump campaign, really saved the campaign, got it on track, and in my view, got Trump elected. Okay, and Bannon, now after leaving the White House, is out there in the wild, and he's made it his mission to destroy the Republican establishment. He is literally dead aim, right between the eyes, every RINO, that's Republican in name only, that's the acronym, RINO, every RINO, he's big game hunting. He's pulling an Eric Trump. He's out there big game hunting. And these are going to be some incredible trophies. No, actually, they are going to become endangered. Threatened? Are we in the threatened? Yeah. First, the animal is threatened, right? And then they move to the endangered list. Well, these Republican in name only rhinos are threatened. Good correction. Because Bannon is going for them. And Bannon, you'll recall the election in Alabama, where they had Judge Moore, who was the people's candidate. Judge Moore, Roy Moore, and there is a Republican primary. And what did they do with Luther Strange? Well, Bannon and his team went in there and they buried him. But it wasn't just Bannon's doing. It was people wanted Roy Moore. So why, how does this matter? Why am I talking about Drudge Report and this daily? Because whenever Drudge posts a link, it's representative of his view. And Drudge, Matt Drudge, well, whether you like him or not, whatever the case is, he is an influential person, and he is someone who has, he lives in D.C., and he's got a very good, in my view, again, very good finger on the pulse of what's going on inside the conservative movement, inside the Republican Party, and inside politics on Capitol Hill in general. So it fascinated me when he linked an article about Bannon going to, you know, doing all of this stuff, getting Republicans, rhinos, killed in the primaries. The link that he posted to this was Breitbart boss, meaning Bannon, right? He's the head of Breitbart now, making it harder for Trump to enact his agenda. He was actually positing it in a negative way. Now, the Daily Beast piece, predictably, because it's left wing and because it's not very well done and because they're making a lot of intellectual shortcuts, is negative. The entire premise of the piece in Daily Beast, if you must know, is, well, how is this helping Trump's agenda when Bannon is going to be helping Cruz and another guy in Utah, both of whom, this guy's name is Matheson. If he's helping Cruz and a guy named Matheson in Senate races, both of these guys criticized Trump once upon a time. So if he really wants to help Trump, why is he helping these guys that once upon a time, at the time of the general election and even before, criticized the president? They still don't get it. And it fascinates me that Trump, that Drudge put this up, because I expect more from him. So here is the scoop. Here's what's going on. And this is why it matters. There's a revolution. Friends, there is a revolution afoot. And you, because you listen to this program, will stay at the cutting edge of what is going on. You will know what's going on ahead of all your friends, even ahead of these bozos in the media who think they know it all. The scoop is this. Trump got elected not because he's Trump, not because he has a beautiful head of hair, or because he has a lumpy, misshapen body that he hides very well in suits and fancy ties. It's not even because he's got a hot wife, or because he has a big jet, or because he lives in Trump Tower. It's because what he was saying, the core elements of his stated agenda during the campaign, were things that people wanted. Period. They wanted what Trump was selling so badly that they were willing to overlook all the crazy stuff. Because the crazy stuff is there. The crazy stuff that the media talks about every day, about Trump tweeting and about him saying stupid things and about him this and that and taking things too personally, it's all there. And you throw a little pussy tape in that, and next thing you know, you've got a candidate who should and ought to be unelectable. And the media, I've told you, they're focused on this being a Russia hacking deal and that Trump cheated and all this. But the fact of the matter is in spite of all his negatives, the positives got him across the line, and it was because of the substance of what he was promising. People wanted that change. Now, who has taken it upon themselves to get in the way of that change? Huh? Well, I'll tell you. It's the rhinos. It's these threatened rhinoceri. Republicans in name only. It's these establishment, warted, old, decrepit, self-interested morons that are on Capitol Hill. And I really, the most awful thing I can say about in all those adjectives, of all of those, the worst one is self-interested. Because for them, trust me on this, when it comes to Mitch McConnell, you think he gives a damn about what you want, about what I want, about even what voters in his own state, his own constituents want? No. He cares about the power of his office. He actually wants to get along with Democrats. He doesn't care about the substance of ideas. If he did, he wouldn't every 6 years or every 4 years when there's a senatorial election, go to you and me and promise us a conservative agenda, fundraise on that for the Senate campaigns. You know, I'm a guy that people go to. These guys all solicit me for money. And I go to these fundraisers. And I have for years turned these people away. I've turned them away because they do not deliver on their promises. It is in the business world, if you were to solicit money like this and not fundraise on promise Obamacare getting repealed and then doing nothing, that'd be fraud. You'd be out. You'd be having the FBI knocking on your door if you're making these solicitations again over state lines. So it's a joke. They don't care at all. All they want is your money, they want your votes, and then they want to go back to Washington and do what they're going to do. And the very premise, as Drudge puts it, that the Breitbart boss, that Bannon, is making it harder for Trump to enact his agenda, how could enacting Trump's agenda get any harder? The Republicans have sabotaged him at every freaking turn. I don't know what I'm missing here. I don't know. I feel like I'm in a sea of crazy, and I'm the only one here who gets it. And these are people that, this is coming from people that I respect. You know, Trump is going to get nowhere with Mitch McConnell. Trump is going to get nowhere with Bob Corker. Trump is going to get nowhere with Orrin Hatch. I don't care. This piece here. Oh, this is great. Well, I mean, look, if Bannon's goal was really to get Trump to be Trump's wingman outside, why is he helping Boyd Matheson in Utah run in the primary against Orrin Hatch? Orrin Hatch, right, you know. And the idea then goes on to say, well, Orrin Hatch has been nice to Trump. He's said nice things about Trump, and Matheson hasn't. You know what? In the world of politics, I don't give a crap if somebody says nice things about me or not. You know what I care about? I care about, are they in my corner at the end of the day? Are we on the same page at the end of the day? And I bet that's where Trump's got to be. If I were Trump, and this doesn't even necessarily matter because Trump's not the one calling these shots. I doubt he's colluding with Bannon on this. But the idea is that the promises that Trump made and his agenda are entirely separate from any personal relationship that any of these people have with the president. And what you have, and you notice, and I'm going to play it for you, you're going to hear the Bob Corker audio of him talking. This is the senator from Kentucky. Where's he? Is he? Bob Corker is. Anyway, you're going to hear Bob Corker talking on to the New York Times. He's slamming the president. And these are people who smile, who say nice things about the president in public, and then privately go back to their offices, go back to their homes, go back to where they are. And what do? They deliberately sabotage the president's agenda because they cannot be. They cannot have this outsider come in and succeed. They cannot have their order, their world, their life, their entire way of being threatened like this. Can you imagine the signal that it would send to a bunch of upstart revolutionaries? If Trump comes from the outside and succeeds and nails this thing and becomes the new leader of a new revitalized Republican Party? No way, Jose, you can't do that. It would literally upend the entire order of Republican politics as usual. In fact, even of politics in general, it threatens even the Democratic Party establishment. So to this end, I want to get into this. Yeah, Corker's from Tennessee. Thank you. Yeah, to this end, you've got to listen. Well, I have some clips of Bannon talking about this, and I want you to be the judge. Is he out there to sabotage the president? Is he out there trying to knock Trump down and trying to throw sticks in his path? Or is he, as I believe, doing what any reasonable, let's stack the House and stack the Senate with people that are going to say yes to the president's agenda. And I don't give a rat's rear end if that person is has said nice things to Trump. What is this? Freaking kindergarten? Oh, he didn't say nice things about him. In business, I don't give a flying rear. You know what? If you say nice things about me, let's work together and keep your promises. There, we're good. And if we have the same, I don't know, if we have the same vision for a project or the same, you know, idea for it, I don't have to like you. You don't have to be my bestie. We can have our differences, but gosh dang it, are we going to get into it and get it done? Hell's bells we are. Okay, boy, am I fired up today. All right, I'm going to play these clips for you. Your blood is going to boil when you hear this corker idiot. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, the voice of reason, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. So I'm excited. No, that's really the word. I'm excited to be alive in this era because I sense the making of a revolution, a political earthquake that has to shake up this generational accumulation of decay and debauchery. Really, this is what it is. The establishment lays promise after promise down upon us and then delivers nothing except self-interest, self-serving, and mediocrity. So all of this is coming out, is bubbling and simmering in the surface because Bannon, who left the White House, now back at the helm of Breitbart News, is forming a political action group that's putting conservative candidates in primaries for senatorial races. So they're taking Republicans that are rhinos, that are just, you know, just go along to get along establishment bozos, and running against them in the primaries. You saw the first case of this in Alabama, where Judge Roy Moore trounced, literally bloodied the establishment candidate Luther Strange, who I actually thought was some sort of superhero name until I took a closer look. The man does not look like a superhero. Could not scale a building if he wanted to. And the cape would just look like a two-man tent. Anyway, where was I? Aha, the revolution. It's underfoot. And its first, oh, no, no. So after Luther Strange, the next victim, the next casualty of this is Bob Corker. Now, Corker was going to run for re-election and then said, folks, I'm out. He's a long-term senator. He's out. And he is so bitter about it that he went to the New York Times. I love this, by the way. This is a sign to me that we are getting to these people. Okay, so goes to the New York Times, does a lengthy on-the-record interview. There's some dispute of whether he knew he was getting recorded. He says, I know I was getting recorded, of course. Oh, he's got a southern drawl. I know I was getting recorded. But anyway, the recording leaked. It's out because it's the freaking New York Times, and it leaks. No, this is not an adult diaper commercial. But anyway, the New York Times leaks. They leaked this out. And listen, this is him trashing Trump. Listen to this.
Sometimes I feel like he's on a reality show of some kind, you know, when he's talking about these big foreign policy issues. And you know, he doesn't realize that, you know, that we could be heading towards World War III with the kind of comments that he's making. And it's like it's an act to come, and sure, that bothers me.
I feel like he's on a reality show of some kind, talking about big foreign policy issues. Oh, really, Senator? You're talking about those big foreign policy issues? What have you What have you done? You've been sitting in the Senate, and all we have is one crap deal after another. Did you ratify the Iran deal, you bozo? This is so petty. And Trump gets accused of being petty, right? All the time in the media. Listen to him. Whiny, snivelly, little, you know what. And I love it that we're going after. I love that this, it's gotten to him. It's now, it's a visceral, emotional, cornered animal reaction. All these years that you and I were the little people, you and I were the forgotten people, you and I pay our taxes. I just freaking did my taxes today, so I'm extra pissed off. I am so pissed right now. I'm seeing red. And I can't even talk about it. We are working our monies off to fund this government. And what has this government done for us? No, these clowns, they got to go. We're done. We're done with these people. Okay. And I love it that something's happening. All right. I will get to Bannon's words. You've got to hear what he said. He did this. He gave an extensive interview. And you probably missed it, so I'm going to play the bits and pieces of it that I think are important, and you be the judge of how this whole thing plays out. My vote, it's freaking good. All right, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. John Wolf has the news up next.
News, talk, evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. Just engaging with a listener out there on Twitter. And if you're missing out, I don't know what to tell you. Follow it on Twitter. It's all there. At Sam Nation. Thank you for the reminder. 1-800-222-5222 if you'd like to be on the program. sam@samnation.com. We are talking, friends, about this. This movement that's underfoot right now to just wipe clean this slate of loser politicians that are in the Senate that just want business as usual and are thwarting the Make America Great Again agenda, aka the agenda that people wanted so bad that they voted Trump in to get. Right? That's what more can I say about it? So just follow me here. Bannon was on Fox News with Sean Hannity a few days ago. With everything going on, and then we were off yesterday, didn't get to this, but it's all important right now because today Drudge had a link to this article that basically is saying, it's Bannon is thwarting Trump's agenda. And here's what Bannon, in his own words, is saying about how many people, how many senators, how many elected politicians in the Senate actually support what President Trump is trying to enact. Have a listen.
There's only two or three senators on Capitol Hill that have President Trump's back. When you want to talk about why there's no repeal and replace, why there's no tax cut, why there's no tax reform, why there's no infrastructure bill, you saw it right there.
And the reason for that, the reason why there are only two or three that have Trump's back, by the way, one of them is Ted Cruz. So the whole idea that Ted Cruz doesn't have the president's back because once upon a time they hated on each other during the campaign is absurd. It's absurd. But McCain hates Trump not just because of the slights during the campaign, but because at his core, McCain is an establishmentarian. At his core, he is an anti-change, make America great again guy. He wants to go along, get along with the Democrats. He wants everything to be cozy. He enjoys the Senate as an institution, as a proud institution where we don't do things like Mr. Trump is doing. And so, you know, that's the difference. The fact, by the way, that Cruz and Trump get along better than Cruz gets along with most of his colleagues, and that's a fact, is that they see eye to eye ideologically more so than with other members. But that's two or three in the Senate. And that's an accurate number. Got Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, a couple others. I mean, it's a short list. Now, I bring all this up because how do you get the agenda moving? Everybody right now, every pundit is talking about how, well, you know, Trump really has to get something done here. If he's going to, you know, if this presidency is going to succeed, he really has to, he's got to put a win in the win column. Because so far, he's just in a bunch of dead ends. And the dead ends are being delivered by these, you know, dead on arrival Republicans. So I see the solution as going after the Republicans that are obstructing the agenda, because to me, I will support Trump only as far as Trump supports the agenda items that I want done in Washington. I want a wall. I want taxes to be lowered, to be reformed. Okay? I want deals with foreign countries that make sense. I want us to engage in a self-interested foreign policy. I want judges that actually know what the Constitution is. Heaven forbid. That's just a few things on my list. But those are the important ones. And to the end that Trump supports that, we're cool. When he doesn't, we're done. And that's, I think, where Bannon is coming from. So I'll give you a few more clips as we get through this. But it does. He talks about the contempt that these Republican senators have for you and I. I want you to listen to this because this really resonated with me. All right, don't go anywhere. I'll be back right after this break. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski here live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Here to put in a good word for my friend, my attorney, Sweet James Bergener. This man, first of all, I've known him a long time. A lot of people with way better shows talk about James on the radio, but none of them have known him as long as I have. He's practically a brother to me, a better looking brother, a smarter brother, and a brother that actually remembers what states senators are from. So that makes him a really, really great guy. But you know what? If I had to describe James in one simple way, I would say he is a true advocate. He actually believes in what he does. You know, this is what's so incredible about him. You sit him down, you talk to him about helping clients, and it is truly his life's passion. So, look, if you get into an accident, you get injured, you get hurt, you somebody somewhere has done wrong to you, and you want to make things right, do it by calling Sweet James, all right? Don't mess around with it on your own. Don't try to do it yourself, okay? This is not a weekend project. Your rights are serious business. And James, he's the guy who's going to take care of it for you. So, give him a call. He's easy to talk to. He's a real guy. He's got a great company and a lot of great people that work with him. And you'll love the experience. You truly will. His phone number, 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Also, he's got a website, which is obviously cool because you can go on there and see pictures of him and know who it is you're talking to. And that website is sweetjames.com. Give him a call. Free consultation. No recovery. No fee. Whole nine yards. And you'll love it. Call Sweet James, 800-881-2021. There we go. I can't even keep numbers straight. Sam Nation, back live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. Bannon is a horrible dresser. That's one thing I got to say about him. They joke that Bannon wears multiple shirts at the same time. You know, he'll have like a shirt over a shirt over another shirt. So in that sense, he's not my spirit animal, but I think in all other senses, I like him. He gets it. He truly gets the decay in Washington. Listen to this. Talking about the decay and the state of what do our politicians think of us?
Look, they have total contempt for the forgotten man. They have total contempt for the base. That's what you saw in Alabama. In Alabama, where they came in with Luther Strange with $32 million to destroy Judge Moore, you saw at the base thought of them, right? The base totally rejected
Crushed them.
These people have no respect for the working men and women in the United States.
No respect for the working men and women in the United States. And you know what? There's no... I don't care if you're making a minimum wage or you're bringing home $100,000 a year. The government literally doesn't care about you. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. Anybody that isn't a billionaire and a mover and shaker and is connected politically, they might have some access. But the rest of us, we're just there for an electoral booty call. I've said this before. They come to us in Congress every 2 years and the Senate every six and promise us and promise us and promise us all this stuff. And what do they give us? Nothing. They're literally like, I feel like the girl who's sitting at home. I've got my pink fuzzy slippers on. I'm watching TV. Everything's great. And I get a text from a guy I kind of know who says, hey, baby, what you doing? It's 11:30 at night. It's like, you know, it's 5 years into a 5.5 years into a 6 year term. Hey, baby, what you doing? Hey, Sam, you want to give me some money? We're going to make some changes in Washington. I'm like, you know what? Here's one middle finger. Here's another middle finger and buzz off, pal, because I ain't giving you crap. I literally feel like I'm getting booty called. And I know you feel that way, too. So Bannon's right about this. And as far as how it ties into Trump, look, Trump's agenda got him elected. Trump's agenda is what won the race. The other stuff, the personality, the Hillary Clinton deal, it's all built into it a little bit. But to some extent, it's irrelevant. The agenda won. And so a lot of people are saying, well, Sam, what about these are primaries? And if these candidates go too far right, they're never going to make it in the they're never going to make it in the general election. Ah, I've got an answer for you. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. I'll get to that when I come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I do not have contempt for the little man. I feel like, what is that? You know, movie? See, this is it. My memory's just going. I know, Robbie. I know. It's that one movie. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? You know, they've got the race. And see, that movie, listen. The greatest thing about that movie is it takes place during the Great Depression, right? But there are great parallels to the modern era, right? Which makes it great. The parodies in it are perfectly analogous to ourselves in our current time. So it's a Coen Brothers movie, and in it there's an incumbent politician, and he's a big fat guy named Pappy O'Daniel. And Pappy O'Daniel, he is just plain useless. He's the incumbent, and he's got the upper hand in the race, and he's being challenged by a guy named Homer Stokes, because it's a parody on Homer's Odyssey. Anyway, so Homer Stokes. And Homer Stokes, he's got a little midget with him who he calls Little Man. And so Homer Stokes goes from town to town, and I've forgotten what state. I'm sorry, Owen. Forgotten what state, this is our listener who's mad at me for not remembering what state Bob Corker's from. I'm sorry. Sometimes my brain just doesn't work as well as it ought to. I have a day job during the day. I work a lot of hours. I don't always keep things straight. Anyway. So Homer Stokes goes around and he's got this little midget with him with the little broom. And they're going to do reform, right? They're going to sweep the incumbent politicians out of office. And so their little shtick is they're on the back of a truck. And And we're gonna get ourselves some reform, ain't we, little man? Sure is. And the little midget, you know, got the little broom. And anyway, that is what is going on right now in Washington. And that's why Bob Corker, it doesn't matter what state he's from, he quit. He didn't want to even run for re-election. Because he knows he's going to get primary. He's going to get shellonged in the primary. So you and I, we're the little man. We are the little man. And it's time that Washington paid heed to what we want. You remember how Ted Cruz's story is that no one gets along with him in the Senate. No one likes Ted Cruz in the Senate. Now, some of it is because Ted Cruz can be obnoxious. This is a fact. But some of it also has to do with that Ted Cruz doesn't go along with anybody. It's the same like Rand Paul. A lot of people don't like Rand Paul, and it's not because of his nasty hair. It looks terrible, right? Anyway, but substantively, he's got it straight. When it comes to healthcare, he gets it. I could spend an hour here easily telling you what the perfect healthcare plan ought to be. Maybe I'm going to do it tomorrow night. I don't know. I'll tell you, because it's been in the news. The Trump is tweaking it with a few things here and there, but it comes down to market principles. It's like gravity. Here, I know this radio, you can't see it. I'm going to drop this pen. Look at what happened. It fell. Shock. That's how the economy works. There's certain rules and certain things that they're truisms. There are laws, just like laws of gravity. And so when we have senators that stand up for reason and don't just go along with the flow to scratch some guy's back to get some pork for their district, and this guy scratches this guy's back to get pork for his state, you know, that kind of nonsense has put us in a multi-trillion dollar debt hole where we are literally owned by China. And we're just playing this defeatist game to our enemies. And you got Bob Corker spouting off to the New York Times about how Trump doesn't realize that we're headed for World War III. Yeah, you know, Corker, put a cork in it. Because, you know, Trump's the first guy that realizes that you've got to posture. So before I lose my train of thought too far, let me tell you about what I think of the criticism that in these primary fights, if you go too far right, that you're going to lose. I think it's rubbish. And here's why. It's not about going too far right. It's about getting back to accountability. It's about scaling back government. It's these core conservative principles. You strip from it things like abortion, which, you know, Roy Moore, right? That was the big thing, that he's got some very conservative, kind of kooky Christian views on gays and about abortion and all this stuff. Take that away from it. That might actually sell in Alabama. But when you go to a state like Arizona, where you've got this literally swamp monster, McCain and Flake, and they're sitting there, that is a state where somebody who is strong on immigration, somebody who is strong on limited government, somebody who's strong on all the things that Bannon wants in his slate of candidates. You have a candidate like that? First of all, if with the right support, they may win in the primary. But if they win in the primary, they're going to win in the general election, because that's what the state wants. This isn't Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. This is an agenda that works for most Americans. I firmly believe that. I don't believe the polls are nonsense. This is why Trump won. Now, he didn't win in California. Bannon's not going to, you know, he's not going to get rid of Dianne Feinstein. But it's these states that elect wishy-washy so-called conservatives, but wishy-washy Republicans. That's where he can elect more true American patriots, more, how might I say, limited government. Less intrusion, more rights, that kind of thing, I think sells. And I think it sells in general elections. And Trump's the best proof of it, I know. Okay, when we come back, oh my goodness, Kelly, is he going to resign? Is he quitting? What's going on? I'm going to talk about it. Don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk
Radio.
790 KABC.
Thursday night, 8:04 p.m., Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation in the house, coming to you live from the Sweet James Studios, deep behind the orange curtain. Now, this is our first week of 2 hours, so if you're tuning in right now and expecting some reruns, not getting it. Instead, you get me, and you get me live, and I guess you be the judge if you're going to enjoy this. 1-800-222-5222 is the number. Sam@samnation.com is the email. And, well, the rumors are swirling that General Kelly, who is right now Trump's chief of staff, that he is toast. And I even had one of my sources say that Kelly had... Normally a reliable source that Kelly had given his resignation some weeks back, that Trump had accepted it, but asked him to put the announcement of it on hold. Now, whenever I get tips, I'm unlike the New York Times, okay? Unlike the Washington Post. What I do when I get a tip is I generally run it through my own filter. This is a process of weighing it against what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing from other people, number one, and also kind of what I'm seeing out there. And I remained ambivalent enough about this tip not to tweet about it and not to talk about it on air. And I'm bringing it up only now because, you know, hell, maybe I am wrong. It turns out this could very well be it. And I don't have a crystal ball here. It's very important information if it is true, because, of course, everybody's watching the Trump White House right now, the Trump presidency, and seeing a staffing situation that is eternally in flux. And that becomes relevant because everybody's saying, ah, look, the man is totally disorganized. He's totally out there in wacko land. And he can't even keep core employees on board with him. And that narrative, by the way, you're hearing a lot of that out there. So in that sense, this is relevant. And you had John Kelly get out and give a press conference about this. And he went on the record and he's like, I'm not quitting and I'm not getting fired. Listen to what he says.
Although I read it all the time, pretty consistently, I'm not quitting today. I don't believe, and I just talked to the president, I don't think I'm being fired today. And I am not so frustrated in this job that I'm thinking of leaving.
Yeah, so pretty clear. And I'll tell you my assessment of it really quickly is that Kelly's not the kind of guy to say something like that if he's already handed in his resignation. So when I heard this today, I thought to my, I felt good that I hadn't jumped on this and reported it to you right away, that I'd held off, because as of today, now that doesn't mean that the tip isn't right. It could have happened and now been passe, but I think Kelly's the kind of guy whose honor matters to him. He's not a James Clapper or a Susan Rice or a Hillary Clinton. He cares. He's an honorable guy. And if it later turned out that Trump had already accepted his letter of resignation, and it was sitting on his desk and it was just waiting for an opportune time for him to leave. I don't think that this is something that Kelly would have wanted, that would want. So the press, of course, they are just like ravenous little, I don't know, what's some kind of like a carnivorous squirrels. They're in that room and they are ready to just scurry up to the podium and literally eat Kelly alive. So what do you mean? What do you mean you're not frustrated? What do you mean you're not frustrated? And so you have a reporter actually asking him to clarify the frustration point. Listen to this.
General Kelly, if I could, you said you're not so frustrated that you're thinking of leaving, but are you frustrated?
No, I'm not frustrated. This is really, really hard work running the United States of America. I don't run it. But I'm working for someone who is dedicated to serving the country in the way that he's talked about for a number of years. This is hard, hard work, John. And my only frustration, with all due respect to everyone in the room, is when I come to work in the morning and read about things I allegedly said or things that Mr. Trump allegedly said or people who were going to be fired or whatever, or think, and it's just not true. That's my frustration. I mean no disrespect to y'all.
I'll add a point to this. So before I do that, he's basically saying, no, I'm not frustrated. I'm not frustrated with Trump. I'm frustrated with you idiots. I'm frustrated with waking up in the morning, turning on the TV, and I see the talking heads on the cable talk shows saying things, reacting to news that is patently false. And so the point I wanted to add to this is, if you've ever worked for somebody or in a capacity where you're in the public light, where there's public interest in what you are doing and where the media is reporting on it, this is not an experience that every person has, but a lot of people do have it that aren't necessarily in politics. And so if you're that person, every time you read something about that issue, that thing, that person that you know, that situation, that you know all the facts, right? You know, you're on the inside and you read an article about it. I'm telling you, every single time without fail, there's something wrong in that article. My law professor for constitutional law at Chapman, Hugh Hewitt, he would always talk about this. Hugh always talked about how you guys don't realize how bad the press is at their job. Because anytime you work with anybody and you have an article written about you, about something that you know intimately, and you're reading it, you're going, oh, nope, that's wrong, and that's wrong. And you took the time, by the way, to go on the record. You took the time to spend time with the reporter, which is why I as a general rule, never talk. I just don't ever talk to reporters. I got burned once a long time ago, and I don't do it ever. It's nothing good comes from it. The other point about sources, and he says this is a great line. General Kelly says, you know, I come in the morning, I'm frustrated, I read about things I allegedly said or things that Mr. Trump allegedly said, and it's not true. And he clarifies this subsequently. And this is a very, I want you to listen particularly close to this, because he actually, they still press him about his frustrations, and he gets into detail about leaks and about sources. And this, to me, I think is one of the most important points about what's going on here with the Kelly rumors, but also about all the reporting about Trump right now in general. And I have a really salient point to make on this, but first, the clip is important. Listen very carefully.
Peel back the curtain for us, since you're in a first row vantage point with the president. What are his frustrations right now?
One of his frustrations is you, all of you, not all of you, but many of you. It is astounding to me how much is misreported. I will give you the benefit of the doubt that you are operating off of contacts, leaks, whatever you call them. But I would just offer to you the advice, I'd say, you know, maybe develop some better sources.
Develop some better sources. Oh, how funny is it? He goes, well, okay, we get it. You're not that frustrated. What's the president frustrated with? And Kelly just looks at the point blank. He's in the White House, you know, press briefing room, looking out at a sea of reporters, a.k.a. carnivorous squirrels. And he's saying, you, he's frustrated by you. And the reporter, this is how, I know he was joking, but these reporters take themselves so seriously. That's the biggest problem. They think they're doing God's work right now, especially now. They think they are taking the fight to Trump, to the insanity. They are the voice, the very soul of the resistance. Shut up and report the facts. Because the guy goes, one of his frustrations is you. And the reporter, you can't hear it in the clip here over the radio, but the reporter says, me personally? And Kelly goes, "What? He has this look on his face like, no, all of you. Well, not all of you, but many of you." And he goes on to say the rest about sources. When you have an organization of X number of people and it's not three or four or five, I would say as soon as you amass a group of people greater than 25, this is arbitrary. Once you start to have more people that are part of an organization, you're going to get one negative Nancy. You're going to get two negative Nancys. You're going to get three crabby people. And these are the type of people, by the way, that are cancer to every organization. I, as a manager at work, this is I'm anti-cancer. I'm anti that person who wants to complain, who thinks that they know better, that they know it all, and they start to kibitz behind your back like, you know, if I was in charge, I would do it. You know the kind of person I'm talking about. You deal with that. You hear that person at work. And by the way, what do you do at work when you listen to that person? You walk away from them. You don't freaking want to have anything to do with them because it's a downer. It's bad enough that you have to show up to work every day because you'd rather be fishing. But instead, there you are doing your job, trying to keep a stiff upper lip, as our friends across the Atlantic say. And they got this person in your ear yapping. And that's what it's like in the White House. There are a handful of disenchanted people that Kelly honestly needs to kick to the curb. And they're people that think that they know better and they're yapping. And during the Obama administration, I guarantee you that there were yappers too. But the press didn't give a damn because guess what? It didn't fit into the narrative. The narrative was that Obama had literally descended from the steps of Olympus to grant us the great gift, the great amazing opportunity to be governed by a man, by a deity as enlightened as himself. And we were supposed to sit here and go, well, God, oh, thank God, thank the heavens for delivering this kind of a gift to us. In the military, they say every private knows how to run the army. It's a saying. Because all the grunts out there are like, yeah, this is how I do it. Oh, this is how I do it. Da, da, da. And that's exactly what I'm talking about here. That cancerous person. And these are people that are there and they're talking and they're wrong. That's the best part about it. They're dead wrong. You think that because you've read it in the Washington Compost, a story that, you know, this X thing is happening in the Trump, and you're taking it as the gospel truth. What you're not realizing is that, you know, somebody who's the second shift grill cook inside of the White House is running their mouth about something that they don't know a damn about. That's it. I don't know what I'm missing here. All I have here are my own personal life experiences, and I know there are different types of people, and the same kinds of personality traits show themselves in every type of organization. The White House, the executive branch of our government, is no different. And I get it. The stories of all of Trump's pathologies are far more newsworthy, but the problem is we have a media right now who has a preconceived notion about what the story is. Journalism, last time I checked, is you find out what the story is. You search for the truth. You question. You are skeptical, if you will, cynical even, of what the truth, the purported truth is. But this 99, whatever, by their count, by the media watchdog, so-called count, it's 90% negative. From my count, it's, 95 and up percent negative. Doesn't matter. Horribly negative coverage of the president. Is it deserved? And who's giving these? Who are these nameless, faceless sources that are providing the support, if you will, that are the underpinnings of all this negative news, all this negative reporting. Every morning I get a little email from the Washington Compost giving me the postmost or whatever it is. And I open it up and it's dump on Trump. That's what it is. It's literally dump on Trump. Every morning I can open it and I know what I'm going to get. And I truly believe this. They sit down. They're going to write a story. They already know what the story is. And then they pick and choose their negative Nancy sources, their little privates that want to run the army, their little, you know what, talkers. And they find out those people and they make them feel so important. Look, Mr. Big Wig, Washington Post, New York Times, gray lady reporter is paying attention to me. I'm important. I have a voice. I'm a man. That's what's going on. Now you understand. Now you know exactly what's going on in Washington. More on this when we come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News, talk, evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC. One of the side stories today, well, not side stories, it's the main course, if you will, has been these accusations by Rose McGowan, actress who has accused Jeff Bezos, also the owner, by the way, of the Washington Post, of harassment and cover-up of alleged rape. Her rape at the hands of Harvey Weinstein. Now, that was part of the story. The other part of the story was that she made this allegation and subsequently got banned, or excuse me, temporarily suspended by Twitter. And the world has come to a full meltdown, and I don't think a lot of people understand what the problem was. Now, I frequently complain about Twitter, so I'm not a fan of Twitter here. Twitter has an agenda. And they're not above monkeying with, you know, big corporatist interests ahead of the truth. But that wasn't the issue here. So she apparently had posted a phone number, a personal phone number on Twitter. That is a violation of the terms of service. And so she was temporarily suspended. Her account was temporarily suspended. Now, facts never get in the way of people's emotions. This is a problem, okay? This is why most people out there act and do things like total idiots, because they don't think things through. And so now we have a hashtag that is trending on Twitter. It's women boycott Twitter, because women are enraged that somebody who very bravely, I admit, fully admit, and I'm loving it, by the way, I am loving it. She is taking the fire to into the belly of the beast, which is the Hollywood establishment. Totally hypocritical den of iniquity. You've got, you know, she's going after Weinstein. She's gone on the record. She's detailed all of this stuff. Very brave. But all these people now piling on Twitter don't understand that it's a basic thing. I think it's reasonable. I don't think that people should. I think Twitter's position is reasonable too. The rule makes sense to me. I don't want people. It's called doxing, is the internet term for it. When you document somebody online, you expose them. You print or publish personal details. A phone number is as personal as it gets. Imagine, you know, you're the subject of something, right or wrong. All of a sudden, you start getting a ton of harassing phone calls. Not good. So Twitter's in the right on this. Her account is probably already back up. And she's corrected and deleted the tweet. But you'll hear it reported in the news that Twitter suspended, you know, went after this poor actress who went on the record and stood up against Weinstein and Amazon and got it. It's not the story. It's not the story. Not true. Fake news. Just this is what we do every night. If you haven't heard the show before, we go on the record to correct the record. And it's really hard work. In fact, if you were to see me right now, I've rolled up my sleeves. No, I have. I took my tie off, rolled up my sleeves, And I'm doing this. I'm in there. I'm getting this thing done and correcting this record piece by piece. Oh, you know the record. So I played for you those snippets of the press conference given by General Kelly, who is the White House chief of staff, who has rumors swirling around Washington about him quitting. And he had to get up there in the press conference like, I'm not quitting. I'm not frustrated. And by the way, I'm frustrated with all you guys printing things about me that aren't true. Wait a minute. Is the president frustrated too? Yeah, the president's frustrated, but with you guys, all you bozos. And the press just had a tizzy fit. Okay, so all that happened. Why is it happening? What type of reporting is out there? I'll give you a little sample, a little dollop of the type of reporting that is out there. Gabriel Sherman, who wrote a Vanity Fair piece on Kelly Trump, on Morning Joe, talking about his sources closest to the president are reporting terrible things. I'm out of time to do this clip, which is why we're going to take a break. We're going to go to the news, and you're going to hear straight from the horse's ass what is said. All right, Gabriel Sherman, when we come back, Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We've got John Wolfe up next with the news.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KABC.
Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio 790 KABC. The time is 8:36. Moving right along through another hour of delicious radio. And I, your host, am deciphering the day's news, getting to the essence of what is important to know. Here's what's important to know. Most of what you read in the newspapers is not true because these journalists, so-called journalists, sit down with a preconceived notion about what they're going to write and then look to find sources that back it up. So if their idea is that Trump is a raving lunatic, they're going to find disgruntled people inside the White House, no matter how small, puny, and irrelevant they are, to back up that narrative. That's it. It's like bad science. Oh, I know. It's like climate change science. The Earth is warming, and it's man-made, And let's find some data quick. Find me some data. Where's the data? Ooh, found it. Wait, that data over there. Not convenient. Does not fit. Discard it. Must be erroneous. No, really, this is how it works. You know, I, for one, thought science, you know, looked for the truth. I thought journalists want to tell us the facts. It's no longer like that. I don't think it ever really was like that. I think this is human nature. We all have opinions. We all have a preconceived notion about things. And it's the rare individual. It's the exception to the rule. A human that can have an idea over here about what they like and can totally divorce themselves from it. And with that, this is the press conference that Kelly had where he basically said, you know what? No, I'm not quitting. I'm here. Rumors of my departure are greatly exaggerated and are, in fact, totally untrue. And by the way, the only thing that frustrates me and the president is you all, pointing to the media in the room. And this whole thing was sparked by a Vanity Fair piece that had alluded to Kelly being really frustrated. That was the basic gist of it. And the author of that piece, Gabriel Sherman, was on MSNBC Morning Joe. I promised to play this clip for you. I just ran out of time at the bottom of the hour. So here is Mr. Sherman talking
to people.
Robbie, jumping the gun. This is Mr. Sherman talking about his sources. Remember, he's talking about people here. He's talking about sources. Listen to this.
These are the people closest to the president who are concerned about his stability at this moment. And what's troubling is that sources inside and outside the White House are talking to reporters, not just me, NBC News and others, about this president, you know, really seeming to come apart at the seams. And I think all eyes are on General Kelly, because his relationship with the president is becoming what people close to both men say is untenable. And I think the yesterday, the move of his deputy to DHS is possibly a warning sign that he may be eyeing the exits.
This is nuts. So the sources inside and outside of the White House are all confirming the same thing. Well, okay, so if you pick and choose your sources, the people that are feeding you a certain narrative, of course, you know, two out of two of my sources agree. Out of the and by the way, well, that's the great point. I'm getting there. Let me perform my host duties here. I'm handling this. My producer is a backseat driver. Sources outside of the White House. Pray tell, what a source out of the White House is going to tell you about what's going on in the White House? I'm baffled by this. I'm genuinely baffled. I mean, and he's saying it in a way to sort of bolster his credibility. I think it does the exact opposite. And by the I'm not going to get into the mechanics here of moving around as deputy, but yeah, there's a deputy to Kelly at DHS. She's stepping up into that role because she's been groomed for that role. And instead of the media, like if this was Obama, they'd all be going, "Oh, he put a woman in DHS. He put a woman, another cabinet secretary woman. Praise be to the God Obama." But it's Trump. And they're focusing on moving her over to DHS means, yes, Kelly's days are numbered because Trump is an unstable buffoon. This is how these people think. All right, don't go anywhere. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
If you're like me, you spend a lot of time on the road. Hi, Sam Rojofsky. I drive a car because I live in Southern California. It's a fact of life. We're out there. And you know what? It doesn't matter how good of a driver you are. The road is full of people that are total idiots. Okay? And gosh forbid that someday, somewhere, somebody hits you and you get hurt. Well, the real nightmare starts actually after that. When you want to deal with the insurance company, you want to get them to be right with you and make things the way they ought to be. And they don't. They won't. They don't want to, because anytime they pay you money, that's less money in their pocket. So here's what you need. You need an attorney. You need a great attorney. You need my attorney, Sweet James Bergener, the lawyer that we trust here on the program to get you sorted out and taken care of. No recovery, no fee. Every consultation is free. And he's got a great team. James is a great guy. His people are all great. He's got a great organization, and they truly do fight insurance companies and take the fight to them. Insurance adjusters even have referred friends and family to James. They know he's the best, and now you do too. Give him a call, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. You can visit his website too, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Nation. Live, back behind the microphone. And, oh, well, you know, no, there is even more insanity. But by the way, I just want to give you a breaking news bulletin. But getting announced fairly late at night. You figure it's almost midnight in Washington, D.C. Apparently, I think the New York Post right now and the Washington Post both reporting that Trump will end Obamacare subsidy payments. Why is this big news? Well, because Obamacare only exists because of the subsidy payments that are coming from the federal government. All these exchanges would collapse and fail, literally, just like that, without money. It's hugely expensive. It's also relevant because it goes back to the original lie. The original lie was that this Obamacare thing was going to work. And right up to Obama himself and everybody involved with drafting this bill, they knew it was a lie at the time, and they did it anyway. And the reason that they did it anyway was because they wanted it to fail. Now, okay, now you're going to say, Sam, you're crazy. It's very conspiratorial. How dare you say that about the Anointed One? He took 8 years off from Mount Olympus to serve us all with his enlightened wisdom. So who are you, Mr. Late Night Talk Show host, to tell us about Obama's intentions? Because here's the deal. Obama's stated intent, and the stated intent of so many Democrats in the Senate and the House, was for single payer. Single payer is the ultimate Democrat's wet dream, right? That is what, if you are a socialist Democrat, Allah, Bernie Sanders, but Obama for sure, single payer means Canada style healthcare. How do you get to Canada style healthcare? How do you get, because remember Obama, you remember the tapes of Obama saying, you know, I don't think America's ready for single payer healthcare yet, that we can't do that. Very telling. What that tape told me right away when I heard it, I go, how's he going to get us there? If he thinks we're not ready for it now, he's looking at it the same way that many of us were like, yeah, well, gay marriage is going to happen when America gets on board with it, which is, you know, a reasonable shift in position and view. But he was looking, America's not ready for socialism yet, but you know what? We will be. Just give it time. Ha! Huh. What could possibly happen? Well, sure. Let Obamacare fail. Let it collapse and fail into a smoldering, you know, bubble of destruction. And what better way to have it fail than have it be economically unfeasible? If you give the public a choice between this hugely expensive, you know, sort of free market adaptation of healthcare subsidized by the federal government versus a single payer system where we can control the costs. Big lie. I'll explain this when I come back. Big lie. Then maybe we can get people on board with it. It was always a part of the original idea of how to sell us on Canadian healthcare. It's the ultimate dream. Trust me. Democrats' ultimate dream is for us to be like Canada. What a joke. Don't go anywhere. I'll explain all of this when I come back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KVC.
News. Talk. Evolve. 790 KVC.
Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, live on Talk Radio, 790 KABC, reporting the news that Trump will end Obamacare subsidies, subsidy payments, which will effectively cause the collapse of Obamacare. He's forcing Congress's hand, is what's happening. He's forcing Congress to do something, right? If the program isn't funded, and he can do that with executive action. Then I guess this is one way to get the rhinos and to get the Democrats all on board to finally, you know, come up with the solution. It can work. But I was explaining the original reasons for why Obamacare was slated or was designed with this internal destruct mechanism. And that's because Obama originally always wanted single-payer health care. He wanted not an Obamacare where you have exchanges and this, you know, putative, you know, free market solution to health care. But you made he made it so it was destined to fail. Why? I'll tell you why. Well, one, he wanted single-payer. But the mechanism, the kill switch in it was forcing healthy people to buy insurance that they don't need. Forcing expensive products on people and making the penalty for not buying it far lower than the actual cost of the insurance. Because the idea was all these healthy people were going to buy these Cadillac plans. And then that was going to pay for all the people that, you know, were, you know, sick and elderly who needed a lot of health insurance. And I just got an email from Janet and with a great question, a listener talking about how, well, you know, why couldn't we have a single payer system in America? I'll tell you, this is a really simple answer, and I've gone into great detail on this in the past on the program, and I can talk about this for hours because the best service and health care, in my view, is no different than any other type of service. Right? You talk about attorneys, talk about, you know, lawyers, right? You talk about doctors, you talk about any car wash. I'm not belittling doctors or health care at all. I'm just saying it's a service. The best service you get is when you are the one handing your money over to that service provider directly and when there's no middleman. The middleman here, I don't care if it's a private entity or not. If it's the state, if it's one single payer paying on behalf of you and I, they're the ones calling the shots. They're the ones deciding what kind of healthcare we get. They're the ones allocating resources. And you know what the worst part about it is? It's not just that you and I don't have choice. When it comes to the left, they love choice, right? When it comes to, you know, other stuff. But when it comes to healthcare, no choice. No choice, single payer. But that's not the worst part about it. The worst part about it is there's no competition. You gotta, in Orange County, look, I get it. The hospitals would still compete because they would compete for the single payer dollars. But who's making the decision of going to the hospitals? Eventually, when you've got one person paying, that person is far removed from the service. When I go to the store and I'm paying for a product, I am right there. I am this close to the product. I am this close to it. And I'm making choices to decide what product is better and what product is worse. And some products that aren't that good, where people aren't buying them, they fail. And the products that everybody loves, they grow and they expand and they offer other products and other services and other things. And that's how this free market thing works. I'm mystified. I'm actually blown away that something like our healthcare is so important, right? It's so critical. We've allowed this system of all systems to get away from us, to get from out of our control. We've handed control over to insurance companies. I know I rail about insurance companies here in the car insurance aspect, but it's the same is true for healthcare. We've turned everything over to health. How do I think it should work? I'll tell you how I think it should work. If Americans can afford cars, we can afford healthcare. And it's a very simple thing. If there is no insurance, if there is no other payers, if it was just you contracting with a facility, whatever procedure you needed would have to be affordable. If I am a heart surgeon, I can't charge, you know, 80 grand for a procedure. Because what mortal can afford that? Well, Sam, see, people are going to die. They're going to die because they can't afford it. Wrong. The doctor wants to have a big house overlooking the ocean. So what does the doctor do? The doctor prices his service so that he can do 10 of those procedures a day, which is, by the way, good. You want a doctor that does a lot of procedures and doesn't do one every 3 weeks. He does a lot of the procedures and he figures out a way to make money. He becomes a capitalist. But it drives down the cost of the good because he has to make it affordable for that broad section, midsection of society. He's got to make it affordable for everyone. He has to build a Model T. He can't just sell Rolls Royces. You're not going to make a living doing that as a doctor. It's basic econ. Anyway, I'm up against this dang clock. So anyway, I'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. More Sam Nation, hot sniggity goodness coming your way in 20 hours, 22 hours. Over now.